If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to Micah, Micah chapter 2. Our text will be found in verses 12 and 13. Micah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. The title of the message this morning is The Breaker of Sin. The Breaker of Sin. God says, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make a great noise by reason of the multitude of men. Here it is in verse 13, the breaker. This is another title for the Lord Jesus Christ, the breaker. And we'll see that a little bit later on. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and they have passed through the gate and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. The Lord shall lead them. The Lord is in front of them. Now, in this book of Micah, it is a book of great promises, but it is surrounded by great destruction. Great promises and woes, promises of destruction. And in this, first of all, we can see the depravity of man in this. God is, first of all, demonstrating, picturing to us the depravity of our human nature. In chapter 1, the whole first chapter is filled with sadness and hopelessness. I mean, you start Micah out and you start in the first chapter and you just stop. Man, it seems hopeless. It seems that the condition is so bad that there's no sense in reading the rest because it's so hard. It's so difficult. It's so melancholy. It's just downcast. The whole first chapter is sad because it pictures to us the condition of all of us by nature. Look at verse 2 of chapter 1. Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that is therein is. And let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from His holy temple. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of His place, and will come down and tread upon the high place. Tread. In other words, to smash them into the dust, to crush them. As you would take a piece of pottery and put your foot under it and tread it and crush it, demolish it so that it is of no use, no value, but is nothing to be discarded, but to be discarded, cast out and put in a fire. Nothing. It's worthless, empty. When God shall come. The word here is a warning to everyone. Listen to me. Every one of you, listen to me. This warning is to all people of the earth. God said, hear ye all people. I will come down and tread on the wicked. I will crush you with my almighty wrath. That's what God says. I will come down in judgment. Friends, God is holy. God is righteous. He's just. He is far above whatever it is we think of God. He is higher, infinitely higher than that. Now, I know somewhat about holiness. I have no idea exactly how holy God is, but whatever it is I can think is far above that. See, you and I, we're sinners. We can forgive one another readily without justice. If you come up and you stomp on my toe and say, I hate you. Well, see, I'd probably come back next week and say, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I was just angry. I say, okay. You know why? Because I understand. I've probably done that in some manner to someone else. And so I can just slide it under the rug without any payment. God can't do that with sin. God must punish sin. God will punish all sin. This is important. God will not slide one sin under the rug. He will not overlook sin. His eyes are as flame of fire. He's seeking out sin in all the earth so that He might punish it. God is love. But friends, if you miss God as justice, you miss the beginning of the gospel. If you miss the person of God and you start, go right to the, most people just skip this, go right to the love. They don't have any understanding of what atonement is. They have no understanding of the great sacrifice of Christ. If they don't know the character of God, God is holy. He's immutable. He's unchangeable. He is almighty. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He knows everything about you. There are sins that every one of us have committed that we would not even tell our spouse or our closest family member about. Every one of us. Every one of us has a sin that, ooh, I hope nobody finds that out. God already did. And He knows it perfectly. It was exposed to Him. And you can't hide. You can't hide. Where shall you go that you would hide from God? If He's in the mountain, you're in the mountains, He's there. You're in the depths of the sea, He's there. You go into space, He's there. You cannot hide from Him. His eyes see all sin, and He must punish all sin. No one can escape this. Not one of us will escape this. All of our sins will be punished. Every sin that you and I have committed, God must punish it. Must punish it. Friends, God will discover your sin. I may hide them from you and you may hide them from me, but God knows them already. You're exposed. Look at this in verse 6. Look at verse 6. Therefore, I will make Samaria as a heap of the field and as the planting of the vineyard, and I will pour down the stones thereof into the valley, and I will discover the foundations thereof. You see, they were worshiping false gods in Samaria, and they had built up these big monuments to these gods. And God says, I'll tear those stones down, and I'll expose the foundation of your gods. They're nothing. They're nothing. Friends, God has already turned over and discovered who we are. You don't have to pretend. How often do we pretend with each other? We put on a face. And somehow we think that that face is going to, we can make that face with God and kind of cover over our sins. If we don't think about it or don't pray about it, maybe He won't know it. No, He knows it. Knows it already. Knows you. He knows your heart. He knows your motives. He knows your mind. He knows your will. He knows everything about you that you wouldn't tell anyone else. He's discovered the foundation and it's exposed. And you know what? God in His Word exposes it to everyone. In Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ was confronted by those Pharisees who thought that if you washed your hands, you would be holy. If you didn't wash your hands, you'd be unclean. Jesus said, that's a lie. That's a lie. He said, out of the heart proceeds adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts. All of these things come from the heart. They come from the heart and go into the mind and out through the body. They don't come from the outside in. They come from the inside out. Man has a heart problem. His heart is diseased. His heart is full of sin. Full of sin. These are things that defile a man. The heart defiles a man. Corruption in his heart. He's so full of sin. Flip over to Micah chapter 7. Look at verse 2. The good man has perished out of the earth. Where's a good man? He's gone. Is there any good? Nope. He's perished out of the earth. And there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands. He's not talking about somebody else. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. See, that's the first thing we do when we hear of depravity is we start listening to other people. We listen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can see him. Oh, yeah. I can understand. Go at him. No, I'm talking to you. I'm speaking to you. Personally. Intimately. This is our nature. And every one of us has it. And it is so full of sin that there is no goodness in us. None whatsoever. Our best deeds are as menstrual cloths in the eyes of God. It's not my word, that's God's word. Man's ruin is total. When Adam fell, he did not break his arm. He broke his neck. He's dead. I was watching a movie with the kids the other day, and this guy said, well, he's only partially dead. Partially dead? How is that partially dead? You laugh at that. There's nothing partially dead. There's either dead or there's not. Either dead or you're not. Partially. That's what man believe. They believe man's partially dead. That he's got half of his body's good and half of it's evil. God says there is nobody good in all the earth. Is that not clear? Is that not plain? Just in case you missed it, we're no good. We're no good. We cannot give anything to God or add one thing to God by our doing. Nothing. Everything we do is sin. Everything. 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 We not only sin, we sin with both hands. We don't just halfway sin. There is no such thing as halfway sin, is there? There's no such thing as a half truth. There's a lie, and there's not. See, God is very plain. We confuse things to make ourselves feel better. We add levels of what's good and what's bad. Well, that's good, but it's not so bad. And this is not so good, but it's really bad. No, all sin is bad. And all sin deserves hell forever, one lie. And God could send you to hell forever for one lie. But I know you ain't just told one. I know because I haven't. And if you tell me that you have, you just told another one. So that makes two. So we are so full of sin. So full of sin and absolutely free from all righteousness. This is the declaration of universal depravity, absolute ruin of man, as it is brought out by the Holy Spirit. Why then did the Holy Spirit begin with this in this book? Why did He begin with such a melancholy, such a sad condition? Because salvation always comes this way. There is no hope of life if there's no realization of death. There is no forgiveness of sins if there is no sinner that needs forgiveness. You see, God begins where we are. And He never holds back. He never holds back. And this is the word that the Holy Spirit uses to lead men to Christ. To lead men to Christ. The law does nothing to give us any comfort. Nothing. Have you ever been in an uncomfortable chair for a long time? I'm glad we got the cushions because these things used to be very uncomfortable. I'll tell you what, you stay there long enough and man, you'll get up and get out. It'll annoy you so much that you'll have to get up or move away from that place. And this is what the law does. The law comes in the power of the Spirit and it drives us to Christ. We want to get so far away from that law that we run to Christ. You don't have to tell a man to come to Christ. He'll come running. He'll come running when God saves him. And this is what God uses. He uses our condition. He shows us His glory, His holiness, and our wickedness and our sins. The power of the Holy Spirit will never lead a man to Christ without first discovering the sin of his heart. All who are saved by grace will repent and sue God for mercy. Look at chapter 1 in Micah. I'm trying to stay close by here so you don't lose your place in Micah. Some of you probably haven't been here for a while. So look in Micah chapter 1 verse 8. Therefore, I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. Oh, that sinners would hear their condition. And I'll tell you, a man that hears his condition will do this. He will weep and he will howl. In this condition, there's no hope. There's no hope. If I were to close the book on this and we were to walk out of here, we would be the most sad people on the face of God's earth. Oh, that sinners would hear and wail because of their sins. Man, I've heard people cry and I've heard people wail about the consequences of their sins. Haven't you? Their sins come in and they have the consequences of the sin. They say, oh man, I hate sin. Oh, I hate sin. I hate sin. Oh, I want to believe in Christ. And sure enough, when the consequences goes away, so did they. So did their faith. You see, they didn't want to be saved from sin. They just wanted to be saved from the consequence of sin. They had no idea who they really are and who God really is. Because if a man meets God, if God reveals Himself to a man, he'll never forget what he saw. He'll never forget who he is. And he'll never forget who God is. And that man wants mercy. You see, I don't want help. I want mercy. I don't want God to give me a pat and a push. I want God to save me and give me life. That's what I want. I need resurrection from the dead, not a band-aid of religion. And friend, come as you are. Man, God revealed that to you. Don't try to make it better. It only grows worse. Isn't that what the woman that had the issue of blood, she went to those doctors, and the Scripture says she grew none the better, but only worse. You go to religion, and you'll only grow worse and not better. God reveals who He is and who you are. You go to works, you'll only grow worse. You try to patch it up and move on, you'll only grow worse. Come as you are to Christ. And plead for mercy. Plead for mercy. And I know this. He will save you. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Number two, this book gives us the discovery and hope of the breaker. Not only does this book begin with the discovery of our sin nature, it also gives us the remedy. It also gives us hope. It also gives us Christ in the Scriptures. And here He is found in verse 13. The breaker is come up before them. Sinners, I want you to hear the promise of God and the hope of all fallen men. Look in verse 12. I will. There's the hope of all mankind. There's the hope of all sinners. God said, I will. If you've got no I will from God, you've got no assurance of anything. You must have a thus saith the Lord, or you have no hope in it. Well, I'm just hoping. I'm just hoping God's going to accept my best. Do you have an I will? Because I do. I have an I will. Do you? God's not going to accept your best. God says, I will not accept their best. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's what God says. So your best is worthless. And God's going to send you to hell if you go with your best. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I'm sorry. But I have an I will. You don't. God says, I will. And therefore, there's hope. He will what? He said, I will assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. What is that? This is a promise. God says, I will save my church. I will save my elect people. Israel, that nation, was only a type. It was only a picture of God's true Israel, His elect that He chose from the foundation of the world. If God had not chosen a people for Himself, none of us would have ever chosen Him. There would be no salvation if God had not chosen a people. Now, this offends natural man that God would choose some and pass by others. Really doesn't matter to me. That's what God says. It's what God has done. It is what God has willed to do. And God says, I will bring Jacob, my people. I will. And how many of them will He bring? All of them. All of them. He said, I will surely gather the remnant. What is a remnant? Isn't that a portion of a group? A remnant? Yeah, it's a remainder. There's a big group. All of us here can be one group. But God says, I'm going to take a remnant, a small portion of that for myself. Out of all the men of all the world that has ever lived, God has set aside a remnant for Himself. Remember Elijah, he thought he was the only one left. He thought, he said, oh, woe is me, take me, God, and kill me. Because there's nobody believes you but me. And I'm so great. I believe you. So this, you know, look at my faith. I said, even kill me. I believe you that much. And he said, just calm down. I've got 7,000 men. Do you realize that there were over 2 million people in the land at that time? And God only reserved 7,000 out of 2 million for himself? It's a remnant. This idea that God loves everyone without exception is a lie. It's not in scriptures. They don't have an I will. They don't. For Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. You see, God doesn't begin to love people. Because if he ever began to love you, he would change. And God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has loved me in eternity. He loves me in time. And he will love me in eternity. If he's hated a man in eternity, he's hated a man in time. He will always hate a man. God doesn't change. Doesn't change. He said, I will. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as a flock in the midst of their fold. And what's going to happen then? They shall. God says, I will. And they shall. That's how it works. You see, I am saved because God willed it so. He said, Fred Evans will believe on my son. And you know what? I shall believe on his son. I have. I am right now. And by God's grace, I will till I die believe on his son. Only because he willed it so. Only because he willed it so. This is the great assurance and promise. This is the only hope for sinners, is that God said, I will. And praise God that he has willed to save some. I'll tell you what, if this offends you, you really haven't heard the first part. You missed the first part if this is offensive. You see, we all deserve hell. And if God gave every man hell, we would just be getting what we deserved. But praise God in grace, he has chosen some. He said he would, and he will gather them. He will bring them into one field, one fold. Jesus Christ said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life. And no man shall pluck them out of my hands. For my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man will pluck them out of his hand. Is that not security? Is that not the most sure thing in all the world? That his sheep will hear his voice. Not the preacher's voice. Not my voice. His voice. His word. His message. And this is the Holy Spirit that comes in power to reveal Christ. He reveals it to his remnant. Jesus Christ is the one that God gave his sheep to. And they will come to Christ. The remnant of Israel that were children of wrath, even as others. But by God's grace, though we were strangers from the covenant of promise and separated by sin, God has sent Christ to be the breaker. The breaker. This is a good. This word breaker means a breach.
a breach. You know, if you were storming a castle and the big walls, you would have to have a breach somewhere. You would have to be able to either scale the wall or you would break the wall down so that you could have access into the enemy stronghold. That's what a breaker is. It's a breach. A bridge, if you will. A bridge. Even so, Christ Jesus is the breaker of the law and sin. What separated us from God? The law. The law. The law says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die, and we have all sinned. How in the world can that be broken down? The only way is if there is someone to obey the law in our place. And Jesus Christ has made a breach. He is the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He's the breach. He's the way to God. He's the way through the law. He made a way through it. By His obedience of it. And He broke down that middle wall of partition. You remember in the Holy of Holies, what separated those two inner rooms? What separated those priests from the Holy of Holies? A veil. A veil, a curtain separated them. What happened when Christ died? The veil was rent in two and there was access to God. A breaker! He came and broke down the walls of partition that separated us from God. And now He says, come and welcome. Come. How? Only by the breaker. Only way in is by the breach. You won't be able to go around this wall. You won't be able to go over this wall. And you won't be able to dig under this wall. Go through the breach Christ has made. It is the way. Christ made a breach by becoming all our righteousness. And by shedding of His blood on the cross, He paid for all our sins. Now, didn't I tell you God was going to punish all sin? Didn't I say that? That's what, because God says that. He will punish all sins. Well, how's there hope for me? God punished my sins in Christ to the fullest degree and measure of His justice. God poured out hell on Christ. For what? My sins. My sins. Did Christ pay for all our sins? Some people believe He paid for all of the sins of all men. Well, that's not true. That's not true. If He paid for the sins of all men, then there would be no hell. And people say, well, He paid for all sins but unbelief. Where in Scripture does faith ever pay for unbelief? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. If Christ paid for every sin but unbelief, we're still all going to hell. Christ paid for all the sins of all His people. He said, it is finished. What else is there for us to do? Nothing. Nothing. What do we have to do for this righteousness? Nothing. Nothing. You see, my faith doesn't add to His righteousness. I believe because He gave me faith. I didn't have any faith myself. He had to give it to me. And I believe that Jesus Christ has broken down every one of my sins that stood before me and between me and God. And now He has made a breach so that I have access to the throne of God at any time I want. I have access to Him at all times. And this breaker has come up. Look at that in your text. The breaker has come up. You know, that word means ascended. I love this. It just gets better and better. Ascended. What happened to Christ after He had broken down the wall of partition? He ascended to the throne of God, where He now sits, ruling over all things after the counsel of His own will. What is He doing? What is Christ doing? He's moving all things to save His people from their sins. That's it. He's doing all things for the good of His people and the glory of God. A leaf, when it falls to the ground, doesn't fall without His permission. And so all of the troubles and trials we have, believer in Christ, it is because our breaker has given them to us. It is because Christ has willed our troubles for our good. For our good. He does all things after the counsel of His own will. He is now risen and ascended, and we serve a living Savior. This is vitally important. Jesus Christ is alive. You believe that? I'll tell you, many times I don't act like I believe that. Thou hast given Him power over all flesh. Do you believe that? A lot of times I don't act like I believe that. We should always believe that, because that's true. That's true. He has power over your flesh, and He has power over all flesh. And He does with us as He pleases. How are we to reckon ourselves? Should we reckon ourselves to be great? Should we reckon ourselves to be proud and boastful? Scripture says we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Have you accounted yourself as a sheep before a slaughter? That's how every believer should count their life. Whatever you will. And they have passed through the gate and are gone out of it, and their king shall pass before them. Those who have the breaker have bowed to Christ. What a peace it is to be at the feet of Christ. Is there any other joy? Is there any other peace than to lay at His feet and hear His word? Not for us. Our King passes before us every day. He speaks to our hearts every day. He comforts us with His word. He embraces us in our troubles. He holds our hand. He holds our heart. And we have access to Him all the time. Isn't that great? Do you have access to your president? No, we're not rich enough or powerful enough to get there. Well, don't worry, I have an access, all right. I have an access to a king. And He is the king of every president. He's my king. He's my king. And the king, the Lord, is on the head of them. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, It is my God that leadeth me. Is that not great? It should be. Considering what we are by nature, ruined, considering what He has done, I will save you. What He has accomplished by the blood and righteousness of Christ for us, it is finished. Christ is risen on the throne of doing all things for our good. Our King has set His throne in our hearts, and He leads us. We don't even have to guess where to go. You don't have to guess. God tells you what we're to be about, our Father's business. You know, you're here for none other reason but to glorify God. If you're a believer in Christ, that's all you're here for. And if you live past today, it'll be for the glory of God. If it won't be for the glory of God, we won't make past today. Sheep for slaughter. Wherever you lead. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. This is the heart of everyone who believes in Christ. I pray this be a comfort to you and a blessing. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer.